Well, good morning, Metropolitan. How are y'all? If you'll find your way to your seat, and we'll get ready to sing this morning. John, you look a little different up here. Yes, I do. So for those who might be visitors, our song leader is out sick today, and so I'm filling in the best that I can. If you grab your hymn books, page 421, we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth verse of this one. Ready? You ask me why I'm happy, so I will tell you why. Because my sins are gone, and when I live for scoffers, I see a few words. I say my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. On the second, 'twas at the old time offer where God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession and devil did depart. I'm glad my sins are gone. Amen. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Amen. On the last, I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Curtis. Well, I appreciate Curtis. You know, you hate to say we're on our third string song leader. Doesn't sound very good, does it? But that's all right. We're going to be on a second string announcement maker here in a minute. But hey, it's good to be in the Lord's house today. Brother John is sick, and Adam Vaught is out of town. So thankfully, Curtis stepped in, and I'm sure we're going to do just a fine job. We're here together. Worship our great God. So thankful, indeed, that our sins are gone. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. You have that tremendous, tremendous confidence and hope of glory and heaven someday. Well, what we want to do is take a couple minutes, church, and welcome our visitors. Welcome each other. We've got a bunch back at Metropolitan today that are going to camp tomorrow. And it's always good to have them come back. Amen. Let's take a turn. Thank you.
Alrighty. If you'll make your way to your seats, grab your hymnal. Page 431, and go ahead and flip over to 149. We'll sing 149 after that one. Since we'll sing an extra one in here today, since we don't have a choir with us today. Y'all are our choir. So page 431, we'll sing the first and third. I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. On the third one, when poor and needy and all alone, in love he said to me, come unto me and I'll lead you home to live with me eternally. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. Tell you what, y'all are singing absolutely Amen. Marvelous this Amen. Morning. Page 149. Let's do the first and last verse on that right there. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. Savior lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know. Just because he lives.
On the last.
And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll find life's fire. No war with pain. And then as death way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I know he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. Fear is gone, because I know he holds a future. just because he lives. Thank you. Y'all may be seated.
Amen.
Okay. As I said, we got second string and third string here, and wasn't sure just when we were going to do this. Let's see. Are you listening? Chris and Drew, would you come up here with me? Well, at least just come over here. What do we do every year this time?
Give away cards so you can pray.
We beg people to take these cards so they will pray for you. Okay? I hope your dad watches this later. Every year we put together some prayer cards for all the folks that are going to camp. There's triples and quadruples for the leaders, especially one lady that's going. I'm taking this one for sure, Marcia Turner. There'll be two or three more of those in there for her. But anyways, we hand these out. We ask you to pray for the campers this week while they're at Southland Christian Camp. Pray that the preaching would be right on target for these young people. Pray that the Holy Spirit would be under control. You know, there's a lot of fun, a lot of things going on. But please pray that God would arrest these young people's attention and, again, deal with their hearts. Whatever the need might be, whether it's a need of salvation, whether there's something else going on, whether there might be a call to service, we'd ask you and pray that you'd be pleased. You want some help? Can you two handle this? You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how well I split these up. Hopefully, oh my, I'll switch this. If you would please be willing to pray, raise your hands, and these guys are going to get cards to you. You go ahead and do that, guys. There's a few for each one. I don't know, two or three at least for each one, maybe four. So we want to make sure the camp is bathed in prayer. Of course, pray for safety as well, beyond the other things, that what's going on there will be protected. I remember one year we went to camp. We I don't think we was off the bus an hour and had an activity going. And one of the young men, two young fellas were playing a game and cracked heads. And one of the young fellow from our church had his ear split open here and off to the emergency room. We didn't get through one night. But so please, things happen. Again, great harm done, but just pray that God would be pleased to protect and do. And from there on in, you put safety helmets on them, crash helmets. And okay, continue. You guys got enough cards? If they get all the way to the back and there's still cards left, back on the back row over there. Okay, from Andrew, they need some on this side over here too. You can get some of those and make sure everybody. Okay. It's important that we take the time to do this because it's absolutely important that these young people are prayed for, the camp leadership is prayed for, the preachers are prayed for, counselors, as they deal with young people in the rooms. I've been to camp many times when more went on in the room after the day was done. How many do you have left, guys? There's some. Oh, down here too. Do you still have some left, Chris? You got one left. Well, I need another one. Okay, I'll take that one. Will you pray for my wife? Thank you. Amen. Great. I'll pray for her anyway. Amen. Brother Curtis, I guess we're going to sing another song.
Oh, yeah, brother. Yeah, I hear you back there. How are you, Brother Drew? go ahead and take your handbook, Stand, page 241. And I'd like to do something just a little different if you can. Go ahead and put your finger in page 3. When we get through a 241, the instruments are going to quit, and we're going to go do an acapella in page 3. On page 241, we're going to do the first, second, and fourth verse on this one, okay? Right? Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. On the second, sin and despair like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge of the cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. On the last, marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? That is greater than all my sin. On page 3, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. On the second, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. On the last, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God. praise than when we first begun. Thank Amen. You. You may be seated. Good singing.
Amen. Amen. Indeed, that was good singing this morning. Amen. Well, first announcement I want to make is concerning our dear sister Mary Carl. Miss her already. I know you do as well. This afternoon, Greenwood's funeral home will be visitation from 3 to 5. From 3 to 5 this afternoon at Greenwood's funeral home, so be mindful of that. And then tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., right here at Metropolitan Baptist Church, we'll be having the funeral. So please be in prayer for the Carl family, these dear ones. And, you know, it's a pleasure to be able to do the funeral for such a dear saint. Of course, we'll have a lot to say about that tomorrow, but a pleasure and an honor indeed to represent our Lord Jesus Christ and dear sister Mary tomorrow. So please be in prayer concerning those things this evening. Invitation to our college graduation, Texas Theological University Seminary. Would like to have you back this evening. Please come back this evening. If you're involved in the program at all, 4:30, we'll have practice at 4:30 today. So be mindful of that as well. And then 6 p.m., the service will begin. Again, I'm sure the service will be a blessing. We have some things planned for that. I can't guarantee the preaching. The chancellor of the college is going to preach, and I don't know about him. I haven't heard much about this Turner guy, but we'll see what the Lord does for us. And then youth camp is obviously, a youth camp begins tomorrow. And asking the youth all to be here at 9 a.m. to head out, of course, the Southland Christian Camp. And Curtis is asked, please, parents, young people, to meet with him right after the morning service for just a few moments, right immediately after the morning service. You know, I was kidding about Marcia. She's a camper. She loves camp. She started taking our girls to camp and went as a camp counselor when they were in junior camp all the way through senior camp. And then we lived at camp for 10 years. We were caretakers and administrators for a Christian camp up in the hills of Pennsylvania for 10 years. So I'm sure she misses camp. I'll miss her this week. I'm trying to make up for earlier. She's smiling, hopefully, but she does love camp, and I'm thankful that she's going to have an opportunity to go with the group this week. Welcome All Day next Sunday. We named it Welcome All Sunday for a reason, so that you will invite folks to be here with us. As I said the other day, how could it get better? There's going to be great music. Great preaching. Brother Mark Thrift is going to be here to be preaching for us on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Just a four-day meeting. So please plan to take advantage of that. Mark Thrift's a tremendous man of God and a tremendous preacher as well. But tremendous music, tremendous preaching, and fried chicken. I mean, can't get much better than that, can it? We'll have lunch on the grounds and then an afternoon service with some special music from Living Proof in all the services. And then, of course, Brother Thrift will be preaching again. Ladies' Brunch was June 12th. It's going to be June 12th as usual, so be mindful of that. And then some places where you could enter in and be part of service around here. Trying to keep up the grounds, keeping up with the grass and so forth. Curtis is going to be away this week, and then it rained. Man, we had a rain, so I know it's going to rain. It's going to grow this week. Always need help in the nursery. Always seem to need help with greeters and so forth. And you see the contacts there. And choir. We didn't have the choir today because of Brother John being sick. So please, we appreciate your prayers for him as well. Well, that's enough announcements. Men, will you come and receive our morning offering? They probably wondered if I was going to forget. They was waving those plates at me. As they come and prepare to receive our morning offering, please give as the Lord directs. We understand the Bible teaches that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So if you want to do a little laughing while you're giving, that'll be okay. And we'll be grateful as the Lord enables us to continue in his service right here. Father, we bow before you today, thanking for your blessings to us in Christ. Thanking you that in Christ we have that cleansing of sin, eternal life. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for all of our blessings in Christ. And I thank you for the opportunity that is ours right now to return a view of your gifts to us. Help us to be generous. Help us to be faithful in our giving. And Lord, we do pray that you'd give our church wisdom and leadership and discernment as we use these faithful offerings. Again, Lord, thank you. Bless this offering for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Was Memorial Day, and it would have been great to have a man in uniform with us last Sunday, but that's all right. We'll just celebrate a little bit beyond, and it's a pleasure for us to have the Holder family back with us as well. Again, the boys are going to camp, and of course to have Matt and the whole family, Jennifer, the whole family, and we miss them. And we're thankful that he has the privilege of serving the Lord in the Army. He's a chaplain, an Army chaplain. And again, please pray for him as he comes today. And again, he's a friend, a brother, and I sure appreciate him.
Days in any soldier's life is when they get to go home, okay? All right? And I'll tell you, it is a blessing to be home with y'all today. But I'm going to invite my family. We're going to come up. We're actually going to sing a song for you this morning. And, you know, as I think about as soldiers go home, we've just had one of our own soldiers go home. And, you know, as Jesus Christ, he says that one day he's coming and he's going to take his soldiers home with him. So today I want you guys to pray for us as we sing a song for you. The King is coming.
Busy housewives, sister labor. has heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The King is coming, the King is coming, praise God, he's coming for me. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged stand in and stand all aglow, who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. I can hear the chariots rumble, I can see the marching throng, the flurry of brass trumpets spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding, heaven's grand stands all in place. Heaven's choir now assemble, start to sing amazing grace.
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Oh, the King is coming. Coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The King is coming, the King is coming, praise God, he's coming for me. Praise God.
I'll tell you, my kids were extremely nervous. I'll tell you, it's really been a blessing having my kids get up and sing with us. I'll tell you, some of y'all probably didn't even know I could play the piano, did you? Yeah. Well, I'd forgotten I could play the piano for about 20 years. And then one day I was in Afghanistan, and I had a piano player, and he was a lieutenant. He was great. And one day they promoted him to a captain and said, "You're getting to go home." And I thought, well, that's not very fair. So they sent him home, and he too went and took a company command of an infantry unit, and so I didn't have a piano player anymore. And I'll tell you, I never was very good at playing the piano because I just couldn't read music fast enough. And so he sat down with me one day, and he says, "Well," he says, "I can't read music either." He says, "I just look at the chords and just make it up as I go." So I thought, well, that sounds kind of easy. So he showed me how to do it, and I thought, well, I'll figure it out. So I learned to play in Afghanistan and got back into playing again. I'll tell you, I really enjoy it. So amen. I came home and told these boys, I said, guess what, boys? I said, I like to sing and I like to play. You're going to come sing with me. One of the joys of being a preacher's kid, right?
Amen.
That's right. So, amen. Well, hey, once again, I'll tell you, it is a blessing to be here with you today. I appreciate you, Pastor, inviting me to come and speak this morning. Many of you know me. I'm not new to this place, but there are a lot of new faces out there, so let me just take a minute to introduce myself to you. My name is Chaplain Matthew Holder. I am the battalion chaplain for the 96th Aviation Support Battalion, 101st Airborne Division out of Fort Campbell. We've been out there for about 3.5 years now, and God has truly been blessing us. I'll tell you, many of you have come up to me, and Haley came up to me on Wednesday, and the first thing she told me, she says, Matt, I have been praying for you. Every day I pray for you. And I want to tell you, that really means a lot to me. It really does. And I appreciate all of your prayers, you know, and all of your support. God has been doing some wonderful things out at Fort Campbell and in the Army. I'll just tell you, I really, really, truly believe that your prayers are being answered out there. And we are at the beginning of, I believe, to be a true revival taking place within our battalion. We started a Bible study this last year and at lunchtime, and I invited some folks to come out, and we started with about 3 folks. And you know, as time began to grow, and it was just amazing how just on fire these 3 folks got. I'm going to tell you, there's power in one person, isn't there? You know, as one person shares the gospel with somebody else, right? And we bring folks to know Christ. And over this last year, our Bible study has grown to the point to where we have over 10% of our battalion now attends Bible study every week. We've got 700 people in our battalion. Okay, so we've started 3 Bible studies now. We do a Bible study almost every day of the week there at Fort Campbell, and it's just amazing to see what God is doing in the lives of our soldiers there. So you guys keep praying for your soldiers, okay? I appreciate it, all right? Well, hey, will you take your Bibles with me this morning and turn with me over to the book of Genesis. Actually, not Genesis, Exodus. Let's go to Exodus. Exodus chapter number 14, okay? Exodus 14. I'll tell you, my first tour, as you're turning over there, my first tour in Iraq, a number of years ago now, I didn't know what to expect the first time, the first time you go into war, the first time you go into another country like that, and I showed up over there in Baghdad. I flew in, I landed in Kuwait first, and then we flew over, landed in Baghdad, and we were in what was called the Green Zone during that time, and it was really, really kind of half the city of Baghdad was kind of a safe place, you know. I mean, it had basically there was one big gigantic wall around it, and everywhere you could kind of travel anywhere you wanted to go in there, and it was pretty safe. And so when we got there, the first week we were kind of in this transition period with the other chaplains that we were taken over for, and they put us up in one of Saddam's palaces there, and they fed us great every day. And I thought, man, this isn't bad, you know. Spent a whole week, I got to eat as much as I wanted to eat, and I got over there, and I thought, this isn't bad at all. And so I thought, little did I know, I think they were just like getting the fatted calf ready for sacrifice. And then what happens? We go from there, and they said, all right, it's time for you to go. You're going to get on this Black Hawk, and you're going to fly to this little place called Kalsu, FOB Kalsu, Forward Operating Base Kalsu. It was about 30 miles south of Baghdad. I landed there, and they said, well, you're not going to stay here. You're actually going to be working with this military transition team out in a little place called Husaniyah. If you look on a map in Iraq, it's actually called Karbala in Iraq. The FOB we were on was called Husaniyah, though. So they said, you're going to be traveling out there, and we're going to take you out there in this convoy. And so I thought, okay, doesn't seem that bad right now. You know, I mean, it sounds pretty easy to me. So I climbed in this convoy, and we're driving along, and we hadn't gotten halfway there, and all of a sudden, we're going down this little one-way road, and there's these berms on both sides, and all of a sudden, the loudest explosion I've ever heard in my life happens. And it's this IED blew up right out of the side of this hill, right in between our vehicle and the vehicle in front of us, which was a fueler truck. And at that point, I realized, I thought, this is for real. This is for real. And it wasn't but a week later that nobody got hurt in that incident there. But about a week later, I'm walking outside of my little, we called them a CHU. I have no idea what it stands for, but it's your housing unit, you know, containerized housing unit. That's what it was. And so I'm walking outside of my little housing area there, and all of a sudden everybody begins to yell and yell, Chaplain, Chaplain, we need you. Come, hurry up. And so I ran, and we ran over towards where the gate was that went outside the wire. And as I got over there, they opened the gate, and they began to drag soldiers in from outside of the gate. And I had heard a big explosion happen right outside the gate about the same time. And we had another IED that hit one of our vehicles. At that time, they pulled in a couple soldiers, and I'm there, and I'm praying over this soldier. And as the helicopters land, and they pick him up, and they take him out, and as they're flying him out, he ends up bleeding to death, and he died that day. And we put him in a casket and laid a flag over him, and we sent him back home to the States. But it wasn't probably another 12 hours later that night, a young soldier comes and he knocks on my door. And I open the door, and he's just in tears. And as he begins to share with me, he says, I can't do this anymore. He says, I cannot go outside the wire again. I can't do this. I can't get back up behind that gun. He was a 50 cal gunner. He says, I can't get back up behind that gun and go back outside the wire. He says, I just can't do it. And I asked him, I said, well, why can you not do this? And he then begins to tell me, he says, because I'm afraid. I'm afraid. He says, the soldier that died today, he said, that should have been me. Should have been me. He said, our convoy was the first convoy to go out, but it got pushed to this afternoon. And the next convoy that went out, he said, that was my friend. He says, but that should have been me. He said, I should have been the one to die today. And he was afraid. He was afraid to the point to where he could not physically, he almost physically just could not move. He could not function. He could not move on from that point forward. Okay? I shared some things with him, and we'll share with you today. But here's the thing, is that he was gripped by fear. He was gripped by fear. But here's another word that sometimes we may think, it's not necessarily fear that grips us, but you know what? I know that another word that many of us deal with that deals with fear is anxiety. Anxiety. What is anxiety? It's the fear of the unknown, right? It's the fear of tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? Okay? And that's what I want to kind of talk about today is I know that some of us in this room today are dealing with anxiety. You're dealing with, you're struggling in your life. I know that some of us in this room, you may feel overwhelmed with life. You may feel you're at that point in life where you just don't seem like you can go on any further. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. You know, what do we deal with? What brings anxiety into our lives? Some of us perhaps in this room are dealing with struggled relationships. You're dealing with struggled, you know, your relationship is not going the way that it should be going right now. You don't know what's going to happen with it. You've got friendships that perhaps aren't going the way that they should. You know, some of us deal with not having enough money at the end of the month, right? And it brings stress and anxiety into our lives, overwhelmed by the amount of work and stress that we deal with. I think that probably just about covers all of us today in this room. And so what I want to do is I want to talk about what is that fear that grips our life today that keeps us from being able to go forward and do what, as this soldier, what his nation had called him to do, but more importantly, what has God called each and every one of you to do, okay? And what is keeping us and our fears and our anxieties from doing what God has called you to do, all right? So let's, if you're there with me at Exodus chapter number 14, will you stand with me out of reverence for the Word of God? And let's read verses 1 through 14, okay? Verses 1 through 14. The Word of God says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal, camp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea, beside Pi-hahiroth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show unto you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, again, I just want to just thank you, Lord, for this blessed day that you've given to us, Lord, that we can gather here in your house to worship you. I pray, dear God, Lord, that today as we worship you in song and as we worship you through the reading of your word, I pray, dear God, Lord, that you will just feed our heart, that you will just touch our soul, Lord, that we may leave this place different than the way we came in this morning. I pray, dear God, Lord, that you will help us to understand this passage, Lord, and understand the promise that you have made to each and every one of us, Lord, as children of God, that we can overcome fear, that there is no reason for us, Lord, to fear, because you have given us everything that we need. And I pray, dear God, Lord, today that you will help us to understand that, help us, Lord, to live it. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you will just heal our hearts, and may we obey you in all that we say and do. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. I'll tell you, the Israelites were in a very tough place, weren't they? They're in a very tough position here. You know, I think when we look at where were they right now? I mean, what just happened here? We know that the nation of Egypt, you know, the Pharaoh, he says that, you know, God hardened his heart and he then went after the nation of Israel. And where do we find the nation of Israel? We find them backed up against the Red Sea here. We find them backed up into a corner. But they don't understand. They can't see the big picture. They don't understand that God had directed Moses to put them there. All they see is the situation that they're in. Okay? And so what do we see? They are standing there. And verse number 14. In verse number 14, it says, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Okay? Now, the first thing I want us to see here is that God has given us not the spirit of fear. The nation of Israel, they were afraid. Look at verse number 10. It says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were what? Sore afraid, weren't they? They were afraid. They were afraid to the point to where they realized that they felt trapped. They felt overwhelmed. They saw that there was no way out of the situation that they were in. And you know what? I can guarantee you that some of us, some point in our life, if we're not going through that now, have felt that way before. Yes, sir. And perhaps maybe we're there today, feeling overwhelmed, feeling trapped. Have you ever felt trapped before? Trapped in a situation that you didn't see that there was a way out of it? You didn't see that there was any way to overcome the difficult situation that you were in? There seemed to be no way out for the nation of Israel. But you know what? I want to tell you, the Word of God has all the answers, doesn't it? The Word of God has the answers. And so here's what I want us to do this morning is, well, I want you to hold your place here, and we're going to turn over to another passage, and we're going to apply what the Word of God tells us to the story that we just read, and hopefully this morning to our own lives. Look at, turn with me, hold your place in Exodus there, but turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Verse number 7. And this is really the key verse that I really want us to pay attention to today, that I want us to apply to this passage and apply to our lives. The Word of God says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." He's not given us the spirit of fear. He's not given us the spirit of anxiety, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, the first thing I ask is, where does fear come from? Where does fear come from? It says, if God has not given us the spirit of fear, where does this type of fear come from? It doesn't come from God, does it? It's part of the flesh. It's part of our nature. It's part of sin that brings up this fear into our lives and into our hearts, into our feelings, so that we become afraid of the situation that we're in. And you know what happens is when we oftentimes become afraid, what do we have a tendency to want to do? Fix it ourselves, don't we? We want to fix it ourselves. And you know what? We can try and try and try until eventually what happens? God finally puts us into a corner, finally puts us into a place until he says, listen, you can't do this on your own. You can't do this on your own. You know what? The only way you're going to get out of this is through the power of God. Through the power of God. And that's what he says here. He says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of power. Okay, that's the first thing I want us to look at. Now, I want you to think about it here. All right, the Israelites, had they seen the power of God in their life before? Amen, yeah. Had they seen the power of God before they were in this situation? Had they seen the power of God? Yeah, they hadn't seen the power of God once. They'd seen it like 10 times, right? Okay, we're talking about the 10 plagues, right? They had seen the power of God. Now, I want you to think about it. If you were... put yourself in the Israelites' shoes here. You know, you're standing there, you're in Egypt, you're serving Pharaoh and the Egyptians there, and Moses comes in and says, you know what, God has come to deliver you. God's come to deliver you. And what do you see? You see that God, through the acts of Moses, he turns water into blood. Does that normally happen every day? No, that doesn't happen every day. They saw the power of God work. And then what happens? That wasn't enough for the Egyptians, was it? And then what happens? We see then another plague after plague after plague after plague. And what happens? The nation of Israel, they were spared through each and every one of those plagues. The nation of Israel, did they see the power of God work in the land in which they served? Absolutely. They saw the power of God work in their lives. Now again, you know, did they have any reason to be afraid? No, they didn't have any reason to be afraid. They had seen the power of God work over and over and over again. Look at Exodus chapter 14 again. In verse number 14, I'd read the verse a minute ago. It says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Whose side are we on? I hope you're on the Lord's side, right? I'm on the Lord's side. The nation of Israel was on the Lord's side. Who was God fighting for? Was God fighting on behalf of the Egyptians? No. He was fighting on behalf of the Israelites. And you know what? Sometimes I think we forget that, don't we? The Israelites, they forgot whose side they were on, didn't they? As they were backed up against the sea, they said, listen, you should have just left us. We have a tendency to do that, don't we? When we get backed into a corner, when we get overwhelmed, when we get stressed, when things aren't going right, what do we have a tendency to do? Complain, don't we? We complain. And that's exactly what the nation of Israel was doing. But you know what? What did Moses tell him? He says, listen, stop your complaining. Stop your complaining. Amen. He says, have you forgotten whose side you're on? Have you forgotten that God... your God delivered you from the Egyptians? You have seen the power of God already work in your life. What makes you think that he's not going to work again in your life? But we forget that, don't we? We forget that. They had forgotten about the power of God working in their life. But then again, I want us to stop and I want us to think about, what does the next part of that verse over in 2 Timothy say? It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, right? The spirit of anxiety. But God has given us the spirit of power, and he's given us the spirit of love. The spirit of love. Hold your place there in Exodus and turn with me over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Deuteronomy chapter number 7 and verse number 6. It says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any other people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So, what's he telling us here? What is Moses reminding the nation of Israel? He's saying, listen, you know what? God did not choose you because you were great in number. God chose you because he loved you. Amen. He loved you. Amen. And here's the thing. He says, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but he has given you the spirit of power, and he's given you the spirit of love. Listen, you have nothing to worry about because God chose you. God chose you. God loved you so much that you know what? You are the children of God. And how much more is God the Father going to take care of his own children? God the Father is going to take care of his own children. What do you have to worry about? When our children are in need, what do? We do anything and everything possible to take care of them. And you know what? I think Moses has reminded them, saying, listen, you know what? God delivered you out of Egypt. God delivered you from this place. God loved you. He loved you. He chose you. You are his children. And I think that, though, they forgot that, didn't they? They forgot that as they were standing there up against the Red Sea. But then what else does he say in 2 Timothy? He says, but God has not given you the spirit of fear, right? But he's given you the spirit of power. He's given you the spirit of love. And he's also given you the spirit of a sound mind. Look at Exodus chapter number 14. And when I think of the spirit of a sound mind, I think of the working of the Holy Spirit and how the work of the Holy Spirit is working inside of our hearts. You know, what does the Holy Spirit do for us? The Holy Spirit is who guides us, who teaches us, who comforts us, who brings us joy, who brings us peace. And I'll tell you, it's the Holy Spirit, when we accept Jesus Christ into our heart, the Holy Spirit indwells within each and every believer. And you know, I'm going to tell you, that is what makes a difference. When people can look at other, you know, you can meet a total stranger on the street, and you can talk to them, and sometimes you don't even have to talk to them, and you can know that the Spirit of God lives inside of them. How do you know that? You can see it because of the working of the Holy Spirit that's in their life. The Holy Spirit that brings them joy and that brings them peace. You know, I'll tell you, I'm working with a soldier right now, and she's an unbeliever. And, you know, she's going through a lot of difficulties in her life. And as she comes and talks to me, and, you know, she'll come and she'll listen to me. She'll talk to me about these things. And as I share things with her, you know, she'll tell me, she's like, I know. She says, I know that's what makes the difference in my life. But she says, I just don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe it. And the other day she was talking to me, she says, Chaplain, she says, I just wish that I could be happy like you are. She's like, nothing seems to bother you. She's like, I know that you have difficulties in your life. I know that you get stressed out by the crazy things that the army does too. And she says, but nothing ever seems to faze you. And she says, what is so different about you? And I told her, I said, you know what's different about me? And she says, I know. It's because you have Christ and the Holy Spirit in your life. And I told her, I said, you know what, I'm praying for you. I'm praying one day that you will believe it. Amen. And that you will accept it. And you know what? And when you do, you too will have true peace and joy through the work of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is who guides us, teaches us. You know, when we're in our that quiet time with God, who's speaking to us? That still small voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing, is that the Holy Spirit we see is who is directing, who is talking through Moses and unto the people there. The Holy Spirit had anointed Moses with the Spirit of God. And in verse number 4, what do we see? It says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they may turn and encamp here. And so what do we see? We see that the Spirit is who is guiding Moses in the direction that he needs to go, in the direction that he needs to take the nation of Israel. And then again in verse number 15, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Okay? That they go forward. Listen, this is not the end. I've brought you to this place. You may feel like you're overwhelmed, but listen, you know what? Speak to the nation of Israel and tell them that, you know what? They have no need to fear and that they need to go forward. Keep going forward. Keep marching on and watch the salvation of the Lord. Watch the Lord work in your life. And you know what? What happens next? In verse number 14, it says, and the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said, and ye shall hold the peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. You know, in verse number 13, I want us to take just a moment here and look at that, and we'll finish the rest of the story. You know, before they go into this, what does Moses tell them? I like this. He says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Fear ye not. Stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
See the salvation of the Lord. And then what happens? They see, we see the salvation of the Lord begin to happen here. And for the sake of time, you know, I'll tell you the story. Moses stretches out that rod across the sea there. And the water parts and the nation of Israel walks across on dry land. And then here comes the mighty army of Egypt. And as they're coming through after them across the Red Sea, then what does the nation of Israel see? As they all got to the other side, Moses stretched forth his hand and the waters collapsed across and destroyed the entire army of Egypt. But here's the thing, is that you know what? Moses said, fear not. First thing you got to do is stand still. You got to be quiet.
That's good.
You got to be quiet. Quit complaining. Listen to the Spirit of God. And lastly here, I want you to think about these things, is how does this apply to us? What about us? Has fear or anxiety gripped a hold of your life? Is it a part of, are you having a difficult time moving forward, just like the nation of Israel was? How do you keep moving forward? How do you keep going? Well, listen, you know what? God has not given you the spirit of fear. You have no need to be afraid. You have no need to fear anxiety because you have the power of God. First thing I want you to do is we have to simply be still for a moment and listen. Listen. Look back in your own life. Have you ever seen the power of God work in your life before?
Amen.
Look back. Remember.
Yes.
Remember. Have you ever seen the power of God work in your life? Have you ever been in a situation before in your life and God worked it out and you knew there was no other way, no other explanation other than God did that in your life? Or you see God work in somebody else's life, and you know without a shadow of a doubt, that was God working.
Yes.
Listen, you have the very power of God in your life. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the power of God. God has given you. There is a verse that says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, right? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And second thing, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but God has given you the spirit of power and he's given you the spirit of love. You know, John 3:16 says what? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son to die on the cross for your sins. For your sins. For my sins. That I could be forgiven. I could be forgiven. And you know what? And accepting Jesus Christ into my heart and into my life, you know what? I became the Son of God. And you became the sons and daughters of God too. Now here's the thing, is that you have no reason to be afraid. You have no reason to be afraid. You have no reason to fear anything. Because you know what? God is working in your life. Christ is working in your heart. You are a child of God. And lastly, since God has not given you the spirit of fear or anxiety, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And as believers, as children of God, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And you know what? If we will sometimes just simply stop trying to fix everything ourselves and just be still for a minute and listen to what the Word of God has for us and the direction that God is leading you in, God will move you exactly where you need to go. And God will part the Red Sea that stands before you. And you will walk across on dry ground. God's going to take care of you. But you know what? We need to be careful about quenching the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit, push the Holy Spirit down and say, listen, you know what? I can do this myself. But eventually you're going to get tired. You know what? You might as well just stop now. Just stop now and just let God work. Let God work. Listen to that still small voice, and God will answer. Will you stand to your feet now as we prepare for a time of invitation, with every head bowed and every eye closed? As our musicians come forward, I want to just talk to you for a few minutes here. I know that some of us in this room are really struggling today. Some of us in this room are dealing with some things that are beyond our control. We have been backed up into a corner, and perhaps there seems to be no way out. But as the musicians begin to play, I want you to just take a moment and just simply be still. Just be still in your heart. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to listen to what God and where God is leading you today. What are you going to do? Are you going to answer that still small voice and give it to the Lord? As the musicians begin to play, we have an old-time altar up here, and I invite you to come and just deal with God as God is dealing with you in your heart. Pastors up here, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know for sure whether you die today, where you would spend eternity, I invite you to come and let Pastor, let myself, let someone show you what it means to have a relationship with Christ. Wait. As these are praying up here, I invite you to pray for them.
Doesn't deal with fear, who hasn't dealt with fear in some fashion, some form, who hasn't dealt with the anxieties of what tomorrow will bring, next week, next month, next year, what happens after this life is over. I urge you, thankful for these ones, respond. Thank for these ones who come pray, seek the Lord's help. I urge you, please, if you're here today and you don't have that peace, you don't have that confidence that the Lord is with you, that He indeed has fought the fight. He died for you and won the complete victory at Calvary. If you don't have that peace that only Jesus can give, we're here for you. I can't save you. But there's one in glory that does. Jesus died for you. Brother Matt so beautifully shared. He loved you. He loved you and laid down his life for you. Again, we're going to sing just one more verse. No one comes. We'll close the service, but please don't hesitate. Please don't hesitate. Please don't leave this place without doing business with God, whatever He'd have you to do. As we sing, Brother Curtis.
Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring Him thy burdens and thou shalt be blessed. Will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is
amen. Amen. Brother Matt, just remind, oh, Captain, Chaplain, Holder. It reminds me, I don't know how many times when he was here as our assistant, I'd find his phone and wallet laying somewhere. Here it be. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for that tremendous word today. Good, and please, as we've urged, be back this evening for our graduation service. We're conferring some degrees on those that have labored for them. It's a great pleasure indeed. Be back with us, I pray. And again, hey, you have a great day. Remember the calling hours at Greenwood Funeral Home for Miss Mary. You're from 3 to 5 this afternoon. Brother Curtis, you come. Get down in the hole, sometimes it's hard to get out.
Well, how about page 421? Is that what you want to do?
You ask me why I'm happy, and I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I'll say,